Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised. Anyways, let's look up who Jack White is.
Jesus Christ, how about not?
That was his name, Jack White?
That's what you told me, I think.
Shut up, B-Kick. He's in the White Stripes.
You're fucking kidding me. No.
He's in the White Stripes.
So what was he on?
I'm sorry.
Scared the shit out of Colin.
I'm like, oh, who's whispering in my ear? Okay, I officially quit everything.
Seven Nation Army.
Yeah, well, clearly he could keep his shit together for that.
Yeah.
Who let him... Who taught him? Like,
that's
no.
What I'm saying. I don't know why, but that was on my Facebook today. I feel like I haven't seen you in 500 years.
It's been so long.
And it's literally been a week.
Yeah.
This is just like a normal schedule. Oh, bitch. Let's talk about a tumultuous weekend.
Yes.
Specifically for Annabelle. God damn. Okay, so this last weekend was the third weekend of May.
Uh-huh.
So we had a planet transit, a big one. So Jupiter moved into Aries.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when Jupiter was in Pisces since October, it's been very, like, dreamy. Like, okay, do you know the song As It Was by Harry Styles?
Yeah.
It's been that vibe for the past, like, 6 months of just dreamy, vibey, we in our feelings. But also, we're just, like, embracing this, like, inquisitive nature of everything. And Jupiter moving into Aries, everything feels like you got to get up and fucking go now. You got to go. You got to do it, because that's what Aries is. It's the most energetic sign in the whole world. And so for some reason, the earth signs have been having a bitch of a time with that and the full moon and the lunar eclipse.
Uh-huh.
So I literally told Sam and Annabelle, because they were like, earlier we were all having a shitty fucking week, and Annabelle was like, what do I do? Like, what's going on with the planets? And I was like, don't do anything. Don't manifest anything. Don't think about anything. Just, like, leave everything alone. Friday comes around. It's Friday the 13th. So Annabelle and I have plans to go down to this tattoo shop in Loveland and get a Friday the 13th tattoo, because they were $31. And so she had to work at, like, 1, right? So the tattoo shop opened at 11. We left the house at 10:15. She stopped at the bank. I beat her there in, like, 5 minutes. Fucking sucker. And we got there at, like, 10:45. And we went in, and there was already a fucking line. And we didn't realize that the line had wrapped down the hallway into the lobby. So instead of thinking there were, like, 5 people in front of us, there were, like, 10 people in front of us.
Right.
15? Yeah, 13. Right. So there were, like, 12, 13 people ahead of us.
Yeah.
And Annabelle was, like, freaking out because she was afraid that she wasn't going to have enough time to, like, get her Friday the 13th tattoo. So she was really excited to get a tattoo. And then the line did not fucking move forever. And we didn't realize that there were only 2 tattoo artists working in that shop. And, like, every other place that I've gone for a Friday the 13th tattoo, there's, like, 7 fucking people working.
Right.
All doing tattoos at the same time. So you can kind of get in and out kind of fast. But their flash tattoo sheets aren't very cute. Or they're, like, very traditional. They don't have a lot of different options. And this place had tons of fucking options. And that's why we wanted to go. But Annabelle ended up having to leave. So she couldn't get her tattoo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, and then... So Annabelle works at the same hotel as Sam. So Sam works the morning shift and Annabelle works the evening shifts on some days. So when Annabelle leaves, or when Sam leaves, Annabelle goes in. So it's like I swap one roommate out for the other for 8 hours. So Sam worked in the morning, which is why she couldn't come get a tattoo. And then Annabelle worked in the afternoon, which is why she couldn't go get a tattoo. But Sam was picking up the cats, the kittens, after her shift.
Right.
So Annabelle went to work as Sam was coming home with the kittens. And Annabelle was like, I don't want to see any pictures of those cats in the group chat until I get home. Because she was so jealous. And then we tried to go to the Women's March on Sunday, and that didn't fucking happen either, because we sat in 45 minutes worth of traffic and then realized by the time we actually get into Denver, find a place, find where the protest is happening, and then find a place to park, it's going to be fucking over. It was nuts. They were warning us, like, miles and miles ahead, saying, like, exit before 221, but then we were backed up by fucking exit 225. Thanks a lot, fucking, you know.
CDOT.
Yeah, thanks a lot, CDOT. And there were, like, some CDOT fucking cars on the side of the road, and I was like, you suck. This sucks. I hate you guys.
You know, I only see them when something bad happens, yeah. So clearly they're
associated. They were just, like, every couple miles.
The night before, I think, we got the kittens, and, like, I was working the whole tattoo thing. The night that I had at work that night was, like, traumatizing.
Oh, yeah. Her first night of work alone, basically.
Yeah, because one of our other people left early for reasons.
Can we dox her on the podcast?
I don't think we should. Fuck. It's over now. But yeah. Then on Sunday... And
she made it. That's the most important part. Yeah, I lived. Part. We have to reinforce that.
Yeah. On Sunday when we were going to the Women's March, Sierra didn't get me my soda.
Oh, yeah. And we stopped at the nicotine store so I could get a nicotine stick. And she was like, will you get me a Sprite when you go in there? And I was like, yeah. There's a girl that works there. And I literally, like, update her on my entire fucking life. Every time I go in there, bitch. Every week, we just have a little spill sesh. It's fucking wonderful. It's the only place I'm a regular at. Anyways. We also have two new members of the family.
Their names are him and her.
she was in here for a little bit at the beginning of the episode, but then she was swiftly whisked away. Her name is Turtle. She is a tortoiseshell kitten. She's like 5 or 6 weeks old at this point. The light of my life, but also the bane of my existence. She has a brother. Her brother's name is Hubert. Can you guess whose cat is who? Whose? Whom?
Whomst cat is whomsters.
Whomstedoofed.
Mildred and Hubert
and Pancake and Turtle. And let me tell you a fucking story, bitch. God damn it. Okay, this is why I love Jake. Jake, I love you so much.
Isn't he the best?
And not in like a romantic way, but in like a platonic, you need to be in my life for the rest of my life. As a friend. I just need that energy, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
He's a Cancer. I love my fellow water signs. But I posted on my Snapchat story on Thursday night because Annabelle and I were having this debate about what we wanted to name the cat. And for a while, we were like, okay, if it's an orange and white cat, we'll name it Pingo. And then Pingo kind of like lost its charm on me. Disagree. And I was like,
Disagree.
It lost its charm on me.
I disagree with your emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, you can disagree with my emotions. That's fine. I don't give a shit.
That's not the collective opinion.
Yeah, it's not. Annabelle really wanted to name the cat Pingo.
I think.
And I liked Pingo, and then I didn't like Pingo anymore. People can change their minds, right?
Disagree.
Disagree.
Then I posted on my Snapchat story, and I was like, okay, we're taking name suggestions, like animal or food names preferred, like whatever, because like, I love, not animal, people or food names. And
Turtle is obviously a food.
No, because listen, this is why I'm talking about Jake. Because Jake replied. And Jake does what Jake always does, which is go get into it, bitch.
Yes.
He got into it. So he goes, hey, so I went hard on the cat name.
Fuck yeah, you did.
My suggestion is Porthos, and here's why.
Yes, he did send me that.
He sent you that? Yeah. Okay, so then he goes into this whole thing. Just imagine Jake saying this with his nice, like, voice. That cat has the same color as a Three Musketeers bar, and as gorgeous as that is, you know, being named after a candy bar, I went deeper. Three Musketeers is a novel written by Alexander Dumas, and this kid goes to join the Musketeer Guard, but they essentially tell him no, and he befriends three of these guards, Aramis, Athos, and Porthos. They do all the hero stuff, and it's a great book. So now, this cat will share the name of a person, the likes of which belong in Three Musketeers, which is also a delicious food, and the coloration matches the candy. Insert picture of Three Musketeers candy bar. Here are some references. Porthos, French origin, meaning a little gullible. Porthos is depicted as a tall, large, strong, and good-looking young man who has successfully wooed Coquenard, a wealthy mistress. He feeds at the house of his mistress, and he is often seen to be worrying about the wealth of the husband of Coquenard. Porthos is also shown to be extremely loyal and brave. However, he often fails to grasp the meaning of conversations. Porthos is often seen to keep Coquenard close to him by hinting at other noble women who are charmed at the handsome musketeer. In the end, it is seen as Porthos... it is seen that Porthos leaves the musketeers to marry Coquenard, who was now a widow and thereby inheriting a huge fortune. So, and I was like, this is so much, it's so overwhelming. How are we going to explain this to people? And then he goes, and then 4 minutes later, he goes, Raja said turtle, like the candy. I like turtles. Please don't pick to name a cat turtle. And I looked at Annabelle and I said, turtle? And she said, turtle! And it's great. It's fucking perfect.
Oh my
And it Lanta. Fits her so well because she's a little tortoise shell.
Yeah.
And we call her Torple. It's a reference from Parks and Rec. If you know it, you know it, you know? But anyways, so shout out to Jake's girlfriend because Jake did all this fucking research about this fucking cat name.
And Sierra's just like, ah, oh, fuck yeah.
No, and Raja literally says, I like turtles. I like turtles. And it's perfect. That. And it's like, it's the chocolate candy and it's also an animal. An animal with a different animal's name is the best. Moose, goose, lizard.
I was trying to think of things that rhyme with moose and goose.
Noose.
Fooseball.
Fooseball. Anyways, put your seatbelt on, buddy. We're going for a ride after that long-ass intro, which is, it's fine because this episode's going to be kind of short. So I told you that this episode's
just like you.
Gonna... So funny. Okay, what do you know about Einstein, Albert Einstein?
He didn't graduate college.
Okay. Do you know anything else about Einstein?
Wasn't he kinky? Like, I'm literally reaching back into the far depths of my memory. Crevasses. I feel like crevaches.
Yes.
I feel like he was kinky or something. He was like,
I do not know anything about Albert Einstein's sex life, unfortunately.
I don't want to be here anymore.
What the fuck is even the point, man? Okay, well, what we're actually going to talk about is how Albert Einstein was a classical musician.
What?
Yeah. So, in his early life...
Fucking nerd?
Albert's mother wanted him to learn the violin, partially because she was also a musician, like, she played the piano, and also, it was, like, good for the German customs, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. Like... assimilate into German culture is the verbiage they used. But like 5-year-olds don't really want to practice the violin unless you're raised in like a super strict family. And I don't think they were, sorry, I don't think they were very strict with him. I got a Hinge notification. But anyways, yeah, like he didn't want
to. Is that the sound they make?
No, that's just my phone. That's my phone notification.
I don't know that I've ever heard the Hinge just sound. Just like a little,
oh, I don't know. I don't know what the Hinge sound is.
That's the grinder sound.
Oh, I know it is.
For everyone at home.
Freak out your loved ones.
Just make that sound. Yeah. Like, with your lips, though. Don't make your phone make that sound. Yeah, it's funnier when you do it.
Because then you look like the gay one. Anyways, so when Einstein turned 13, he discovered the violin sonatas of Mozart, where he became enamored with Mozart's composition and studied music more willingly. Einstein taught himself to play without ever practicing systematically. He said that, quote, love is a better teacher than a sense of duty, unquote.
Oh my
period. Gosh. Because listen, when I fucking read that shit, I was like, I love practicing shit that I love. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm practicing when I'm playing songs that I, like, actually want to learn or that I really like the sound of. You know what I mean? And, like, that's how I went through my whole fucking college experience.
Yeah.
Of practicing piano was, I got to find a repertoire piece that I actually like and I actually think is pretty. Or else I'm going to fucking hate practicing this shit. You know?
Yeah.
Einstein got fucking deep, man. No wonder his name is Einstein. What do you think people called? I knew that was
a You know Einstein translates to like a rock?
That's dope. What was I going to say? So you know how people are like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock, or like, oh, yeah, you're a nerd, Einstein.
Yeah.
What do you think people said before that? Before Einstein was smart?
No fuck Pythagoras. No fuck Pythagoras.
Like Pythagorean theorem? Pythag- yeah. Pythag- Pythagorean. God, we're gonna lose so many listeners.
Can you imagine? Like, nobody thinks about that word. People just fucking say it.
Well, I hope the podcast listeners have fun with that one. We're gonna hear this in a week when Colin sends it to me for edits. I'm gonna say, why? What's wrong with us?
Hey Siri, where's the closest bridge?
We're gonna go drive off of it. Okay, anyways, so music took on a pivotal and permanent role in Einstein's life from, like, his teenage years on. He wasn't really, like, totally keen on being a professional musician. He wasn't like, yeah, that's my shit. He was like, no, I'm gonna go be a dork somewhere.
Einstein's I want to talk about energy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go talk about physics. Fuck this music shit. But because of that, he often performed for, like, private audiences and, like, friends and stuff.
Right.
But he never, like, was like, I'm going to go be a musician. I'm going to make less than minimum wage. This is me running.
I'm going to be bigger on the street, even though I could talk about energy all day.
Yeah. So, he also was, like, a huge fan of chamber music.
Oh.
He's a fancy little boy.
Yeah.
So,
a little dark. Yeah,
chamber music. I love you. And that was while he was living in Bern, Zurich, and Berlin. So, in 1931, while engaged in research at the California Institute of Technology, he visited the Zollner Family Conservatory in Los Angeles, where he played some Beethoven and Mozart works with members of the Zollner Quartet.
Tight.
He was like...
He was just fucking it up.
He was a little hobbyist. Violin hobbyist.
Hell yeah. You know,
just did it on the side for fun.
Just like your mom.
Nice. Fucking sick burn. And then, near the end of his life, he played the violin with the Juilliard Quartet, and they were, quote, impressed by Einstein's level of coordination and intonation.
Okay, I wonder if they just said that. They're like...
Because he's Einstein?
Yeah. They're just like, oh my gosh, you did so good.
You invented physics. You can do anything.
Wow. That's you play piano too?
No, I think he only played the violin.
Oh.
I don't think he played piano.
I'm getting it twisted.
You are. You're painting Einstein out to be this fucking pompous-ass, pretentious-ass piano player, when in fact, he is a pompous-ass, pretentious-ass violin player. There's a difference. Yeah, so where do you think we're going now with our little story here?
Somebody the other day, as in, like, sometime in my life, was really upset that flautist.
Wait, you gotta keep that in.
I have a point. I do have a point here.
Okay.
Flautist, pianist, trumpist, trumpeteer, trombonist, trumpeteer. From the trumpeteer.
I hate this.
I think that's the fourth time we've mentioned that fucking song on this podcast.
It's super because it's so problematic. Not the song, but Sia. We don't stand Sia in this house.
You gotta see it to believe it.
You don't stand Sia either.
No, I don't know why I wouldn't stand. What am I... What am I not standing Sia because of?
She did a movie. Yeah, Disablism?
Ableism. Oh, I didn't know she was ableist. Sorry.
Very. Super.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyways.
Got a little girl involved.
Yeah, she got a fucking child involved in the ableism.
What the fuck, Sia?
One of the Dance Moms girls.
Oh.
We'll get into it.
Oh.
Don't worry about it. I'll tell you about it in an episode.
You know this means I have to close my brain off to Dance Moms and Sia.
Good. You seem to be doing fine without them. You don't need Dance Moms. Look at how I've turned out. Need them.
Here's a comparison. Sierra is someone that watches Dance Moms. I am someone that does not.
I watch a lot of crap, dude. My brain is just full of worms all the time.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah, okay. Where do you think this story is going next?
He obviously comes up to Charlie Daniels and is like, bitch, you, me, right now, stage. And then they play Devil Went Down to Georgia. And then Einstein is like, I'm the devil. And Charlie Daniels ends up getting his violin taken away. Wah, wah.
Who? What?
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Okay, yeah.
Charlie Daniels is the guy.
Yeah, okay.
So Einstein goes head to head with Charlie Daniels in a
violin competition.
In a Devil Went Down to Georgia hoedown.
Throwdown.
Throwdown. And Sir Daniels got thrown down.
You were so close.
To hell.
You were so close.
So close. What happened?
Einstein actually dies.
Playing? Why?
No, he just dies.
So that's it?
He just dies. So on April, shut up. I'm not done. You gotta let me.
Wait. Can I just give a summary? Because this is what I'm understanding right now. So Einstein is born.
Yep.
Side quest, he does all that sciencey shit. Real quest, he is forced to learn violin and is decent at it. Enough where this prestigious chamber orchestra is like, oh yeah, you're fucking good. And then he dies.
Yeah.
That's the story of Einstein's life.
No.
Okay.
It's the story of what happened after his life.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. So, on April 17th, 1955, Einstein experienced internal bleeding caused by the rupture of an abdominal aortic aneurysm, which had previously been reinforced surgically. Einstein refused surgery, saying, quote, I want to go when I want it. It's tasteless to prolong life artificially. I have done my share. It is time to go. I will do it elegantly. Unquote. He died in the University Medical Center of Princeton the next morning at the age of 76. The autopsy takes place.
Okay.
Thomas Harvey is the pathologist on call.
Steve Harvey's grandpa.
Thomas Harvey stole Einstein's brain.
Why? Okay.
Like, I really got
out of
there,
his head?
Yeah. I got you, huh? Did I get you?
Steve's grandpa, no.
Did I get you?
I guess it could have been Steve's dad.
I'm going to take that as a yes. I got you.
Yeah.
You thought we were going to talk about boring music stuff. No, brain theft.
So is Steve just like a violinist and wanted to compete with Charlie Daniels?
Okay, drop the violin thing. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about now.
Why? Okay.
It was just a distraction story because my script wasn't long enough.
Fine.
I just wanted to trick you. Hey, this is what you get for the fucking furry shit, all right?
Yeah, fair. All right. I deserve it.
Oh, God. So, Einstein specifically stated that he did not want his brain or body to be studied after he died. He didn't want to be worshipped, quote unquote.
Okay, fucking ego the size of Einstein.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm a scientist. I'm better than everyone. Everybody will want to study my brain.
No, the exact opposite of that. Okay, let me tell you.
He knew he was the Madonna of the science world.
First of all, don't yesify Albert Einstein. Second of all, shut the hell up and let me finish.
Sorry.
So there is this writer. His name is Brian Burrell, and he published a book in 2005 called Postcards from the Brain Museum, where he talks quite a bit about this whole incident of Einstein's brain being stolen. So, quote, he had left behind specific instructions regarding his remains. Cremate them and scatter the ashes secretly in order to discourage idolaters. Idolaters? Idols. Idolaters?
I think what she said.
Yeah. Idolaters? What does that mean? What she said.
You said it, don't you know?
Idol? Okay, people who idol you.
Make someone their idol.
Yeah, okay. So like, he didn't want the freaks coming after his body.
Yeah.
After he died.
Yeah.
Because he knew there were freaks, you know? So it was emphasized that Thomas Harvey was not a brain specialist. The man who stole the brain was not the brain specialist. Get your filthy paws off my brain.
It's just like, I got Napoleon's penis and Einstein's brain.
Oh my God. So his understanding of the brain did not extend beyond the post-mortem diagnosis of disease, atrophy, or injury. Did that make sense to you?
I wasn't listening. Sorry.
I'm going to quit.
think about Napoleon's penis and Einstein's brain, what that would result in?
Balls. A dick and balls.
No balls.
You put the dick in the brain.
Oh, dick and balls. It would be very different. Mm.
Yeah. So Thomas Harvey's understanding of the brain did not extend beyond the post-mortem diagnosis of disease, atrophy, or injury. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He could tell if the brain was dead or alive.
Or injured after death or before death or whatever. You know, this
He was means, like a stoplight yeah, about brains.
This means that he did not have any fucking business taking Einstein's fucking brain.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Eat it?
Right. No, he's not going to eat it. So there have been tons of accounts of this by Thomas himself, Thomas Harvey. I'll probably call him Harvey for the rest of this. And like every single time he tells the story, it's different. Every single time he tells someone about how he has fucking Einstein's brain, it's different.
What?
Yeah. But it seems that he removed the brain at the request of his mentor, Harry Zimmerman, who was Einstein's personal physician. Fishy, fishy. Fishy, fishy. I smell a conspiracy theory, but we won't get into it. It's fine. It's fine. Whatever. So we won't ever really know like why he took the brain and kept it, but it can be inferred from comments made to various reporters that Harvey was inspired by Oscar Vogt's study of Lenin's brain, and he had the vague idea that this whole fucking thing might shed some light on why Einstein's brain is different, or like why he thinks the way that he does. Basically, an easier explanation was he got caught up in the moment and was like, this is Einstein, and I can just cut into his skull and take his brain.
Yeah. So how'd he get caught?
I'll tell you. So Harvey takes the brain without permission from Einstein's family. Quote, this is from that same book about brains. Quote, when the facts came to light a few days later, Harvey managed to solicit a reluctant and retroactive blessing from Einstein's son, Hans Albert, with the now familiar stipulation that any investigation would be conducted solely in the interest of science. So you can have my dad's brain.
Right.
But if you publish anything, it has to be solely for science, like scientific purposes. And you like, don't go fuck around with my brain, my dad's brain. That's my dad's brain. Don't do that. So Harvey didn't just take the brain, though. Let's play Guess That Body Part. What else do you think he took?
Penis.
No.
Oh.
I'll give you two more guesses. Nose. No.
Eyes.
Yes. Eyeballs.
Both of them?
Both of them. Both of my eyeballs. So he took Einstein's eyeballs and gave them to Einstein's eye doctor, a man named Henry Abrams. They are kept now in a safe deposit box in New York City and are frequently rumored to be poised for the auction block. Fucking psychotic. Why would you want Einstein's eyes? Also,
What happened to his face?
What do you mean?
Like, did he have an open casket? What happened?
They cremated him and scattered his ashes in an undisclosed location.
That's right. You did tell me that. Yeah. But like, okay, somebody might not notice the brain. Unless you're the person, like, throwing him into the... Sorry. what do you call that?
The incinerator?
Yes.
Like, yeah. They just scooped his eyeballs out.
But somebody's going to notice that.
Right.
The brain, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, they're going to notice the giant, like, incision through the skull.
Right. But you could also have to do that for your autopsy.
And the fact that... They did it. Well, there's like conflicting stories about whether or not an autopsy was even ordered.
Gotcha.
That's like the whole fucking
thing. Oh, fuck. So he was probably not even supposed to touch the body.
Right. Like Harvey's whole story at the beginning, which is why it varied so much, was that like, oh, yeah, I thought we were supposed to have an autopsy. So I taught fucking autopsy of the brain.
Oh, my God. Stevie Senior, why?
So, let's see. Eyeballs. Okay, that's where we are. So, Harvey lost his job at the hospital that he stole the brain from.
Yeah.
From, like, the world-renowned genius. Because he wouldn't give the brain back. I'm serious. He
goes, like, it's mine.
They were like, you're fired unless you give us the brain back. And he goes, no. It's mine. I found it. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And he and the brain go to Philadelphia, where it was carved into 240 pieces and preserved in celluloidin, a hard and rubbery form of cellulose.
Okay.
Yep. Harvey gave some of the pieces to Harry Zimmerman, his man, and placed the remainder in two formalin-filled jars, which he stored in the basement of his house in Princeton.
The fuck?
This man had Albert Einstein's fucking brain and put it in his basement. Also, if you hear any noise upstairs, we have two fucking five-week-old kittens, so we're in a basement. Get over it. Harry did study the specimens that were given to him. So Harry Zimmerman, his boss, studied the specimens given to him and didn't find anything unusual in the brain. And he also began to, like, deflect reporters' questions because obviously this was in, like, the news and stuff.
Right.
And he was claiming that Harvey was dead. He was like, I don't know anything about Einstein. I don't know anything about the brain. And that guy died. I don't know. Leave me alone. Which, I get it. God, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Occasionally, Harvey would try to interest a brain researcher in his quest, but most of the inquiries he fielded came from reporters. Whenever they asked what was being done, Harvey would confidently proclaim that he was just 1 year away from publishing his results. He would continue to give the same answer for the next...
12 years.
40 years.
Holy shit.
40 years, Colin.
He had nothing. He was like,
I don't have anything else, but I have this man's brain, which means I can do whatever I want. Isn't that nuts?
It probably just sat there and collected
dust. Why didn't we learn about this? Have you ever heard the story?
No.
About the man who stole Einstein's brain from him after he died? We should be learning about this. Yeah. This is important to American history.
No kidding.
I don't care about the Statue of Liberty. Yes, I do. I love her so much. Never mind. So, we are in 1985, and Harvey finds a bunch of collaborators in California to publish the first study of Einstein's brain, claiming that it had an abnormal proportion of two types of cells, neurons and glia. I almost got into it. I almost got into, like, the cellular biology of the brain, but I decided not to bore y'all. That'd be a
big step for you.
Well, because I learned, I had to take two neuroscience classes in college.
Oh, okay.
I suffered. That degree is hard, bitch. I swear to God. I took two neuroscience classes. You know the brain. Yeah. So that study was followed by five others reporting additional differences in individual cells or in particular structures in Einstein's brain. The researchers behind these studies say that studying Einstein's brain could help uncover the neurological underpinnings of intelligence. Just when you can't, when you think things, you can't read. I think my brain just shut off.
Yeah, you need some of that Einstein juice. Oh my God. What just happened there. Holy shit.
Are you here? Do you know where we are?
Yes. Einstein's brain. This is the magic school bus, and you are Mrs. Frizzle.
I am. So basically, the researchers have Einstein's brain, and they're like, we're going to do some shit with this. We're going to find stuff out. We're going to figure out if different parts of different people's brains make you smarter. If, like, they have more neurons in this part, it makes you better at math. Or maybe you can see different colors. I don't know. Brain. The brain's really fucking crazy and confusing. And you know I love a good research, bitch. But anyways, this story gets fucking crazier. As if it couldn't already.
Mm-hmm.
So, Harvey's wife was threatening to dispose of the brain.
I don't like this. It's in my basement.
Literally. Like, what the fuck? You still have this? That would be my reaction.
You haven't done anything. You haven't published anything.
Yeah.
We could be in a mansion, but we're not because you fucking suck.
Oh, that wouldn't be me. I would be like, are you still doing that? Or like, what are these doing? Can we do we need to donate them? Do they go to the Goodwill?
Are they from the same brain?
Yeah. Like, what do we need to do about these? You know?
Yikes.
So he came back from California to wherever the fuck he was living at the time. Philadelphia. And took it with him to the great wide big Midwest. He moved to the Midwest.
Okay.
Where? For a time. Oh, don't worry. For a time, he worked as a medical supervisor in a biological testing lab in Wichita, Kansas. Now, here's the thing. In what part of the resume do you put, I stole Einstein's brain on the job?
Yeah, I think that's something you're like, I have one felony, but yeah, let's not talk about it. Do you have to
disclose that? Like, did he get charged for it? Like, because he had the blessing of the guy, and this was 1950, I'm sure there wasn't many, you know. What are the rules?
That's weird.
Seems like there are no rules. Fishy, fishy. I mean,
he could have just changed his name. It's like, what, 19 something?
Something. 85.
1985. The internet is not a place, really.
Yeah. I don't know. So he got a job in Wichita, Kansas. Yeehaw. And guess where he kept the brain?
His basement.
He kept it in a cider box stashed under a beer cooler.
Okay, so now he's like, oh, fuck, I have to hide this. My wife is going to kill me.
Yeah. And then he moved again to Weston, Missouri, and practiced medicine while trying to study the brain in his spare time, only to lose his medical license in 1988 after failing a 3-day competency exam.
Holy shit.
Should have happened a lot sooner. 30 years sooner, maybe. Maybe. Just maybe. Then he relocated to Lawrence, Kansas, which is where my ex-boyfriend is from, so fuck this guy. The one that had a girlfriend at the same time that he had me as his girlfriend. That one's from Lawrence. Fuck you. Anyways, he moved to Lawrence and then took an assembly line job in a plastic extrusion factory and moved into a second floor apartment next to a gas station. Wow. And he made a friend. He made a neighbor friend. He's like, all I got is this brain. And my two hands.
It was Steve Harvey.
I'm assuming his wife left him at this point.
20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I think his wife left him at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, that would make sense if he's living next to a gas station. You know how
fucking hard it was for me to find information on this man when he had this fucking brain?
Yeah.
I have no information about his early life. All I know is that he was at the hospital and took the brain when Einstein died. I don't know anything else. That's it. So he made a friend at his apartment complex next to the gas station. How nice. That friend was William Burroughs. And the two men routinely met for drinks on Burroughs' front porch. So they're little porch buddies. Had a little afternoon beer after work. Harvey would tell stories about the brain, about cutting off chunks to send to researchers around the world. Burroughs, in turn, would boast to visitors that he could have a piece of Einstein anytime he wanted. So he was bragging to his shitty friends and shitty Lawrence, shitty Kansas, saying, hey, I can get Einstein's brain, and that's maybe if we put part of his brain in my brain, it'll come back to life, and then I'll be as smart as Einstein.
Jesus Christ.
All right, let's fast forward a couple more years. I don't know whatever happened about that. This is the weirdest fucking story ever, dude. In the early 1990s, Harvey returned to Princeton. And what had merely verged on the absurd in the early days crossed the line in 1997 when he embarked on a cross-country road trip with a freelance magazine writer named Michael Paterniti. Paterniti. Italiana di Paterniti.
She shook her hand.
So Harvey wanted to meet Einstein's granddaughter in California.
Uh-huh.
And Paterniti. And Pattern, I'm just going to call him Pattern. Pattern eagerly signed on as a driver. And the two men, I'm like losing my mind right now. I don't know why I can't read.
Can we take a short break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you going to go pee?
Yeah.
Hey. Hey. Make it stop.
Make what stop? That. What? You said I hate that.
Well, then stop.
I said,
you
stop.
Yeah, so stop.
Oh, me talking into this?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about?
I hope Colin keeps us in, and I hope he puts the elevator music on. That's not the elevator music. My brain is just a pile of worms right now. Paterniti. Anyways, let's keep talking about Einstein's brain, because we're almost done.
Yay! Oh, that was a good break. I feel very refreshed.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's go to the 1990s. Mm-hmm. So, Harvey returns to Princeton. And he then decides in 1997 that he needs to go on a little road trip. And he's going on a road trip with a freelance magazine writer named Michael Paternini.
Paternini. Is it Paternini?
Paternini. Paternini. There's two T's in there. Pattern. Patty. I'm going to call him Patty. Patty. So Harvey wanted to meet Einstein's...
Okay, here's a question. What? Did they bring the brain with?
Yeah, because he wanted to meet Einstein's granddaughter.
Gotcha. So he's like, I have ransom.
I have the biggest surprise. You're never going to believe this.
Your grandpa's brain.
So Patty signs on as the driver. And the two men set off from New Jersey with Einstein's brain in the trunk of Harvey's Buick Skylark. When he met the granddaughter, Harvey toyed with the idea of giving her the brain. He even left it at her house accidentally.
Oh, fuck.
This dude sucks. You have Einstein's brain and you're just forgetting it places?
Jesus Christ.
Also, he had like 240 slides. So what was he? Was it in a briefcase? Was it in a little medical thing? How were you transporting these slides of brain? 200 of them.
Oh, I thought you meant like a slideshow. I was going to say Google Drive.
No, like little like microscope slides. Not microscope.
So I mean, yeah, that's like.
Still, that's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
How are you transporting Einstein's brain? And why are you forgetting it places? What is more important than that? You know? Oh, she didn't want it. She didn't want the brain.
She's like, that's weird.
Yeah, she was like, I don't think I really want my dead grandfather's brain. Thanks, though. She probably thought he was a fucking weirdo.
She's like, you're trying to scam me. I don't believe it's real.
This isn't real. Are you lost? Do I need to call somebody? So then, in the end, the two men and the brain parted ways. Patty went to go write his book about, like, this whole escapade. And then Harvey finally went back to his girlfriend's house in Princeton. So he did end up splitting from his wife. His wife was like, he can't stop talking about the brain. He says brain in bed. It's weird. And then the brain ended its days at the pathology lab where it all started 40 years earlier.
Jesus Christ.
So the brain ended up back in Princeton. And Patty wrote a book about this little road trip called Driving Mr. Albert. Like Driving Miss Daisy. Driving Mr. Albert. Where he described Harvey as an eccentric, if not... Okay, I want you to tell me what this word means because I didn't Google it because I'm an idiot. Q-U-I-X-O-T-I-C.
Quixotic?
What does that mean?
Don Quixote is a novel by... Cervantes, Miguel de Cervantes.
Okay.
And it's an adventure novel where Quixote goes on this quest, whatever. And it's the most translated novel and considered the first novel ever written.
Okay.
So like, it's a big fucking deal to literature. Yeah. It is the cornerstone piece of literature.
So he was kind of like an inventory guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Basically.
That's what Quixotic means.
Yes.
So Harvey was described as eccentric, if not Quixotic man with a booming voice and an odd habit at laughing at inappropriate moments.
Well, and the other thing about Don Quixote was he was a little fucking weird.
Oh, okay. So John, not John Harvey. Harvey, Thomas Harvey is just the fucking weirdo. He's just a weirdo.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, cool. In 1999, so we're going back a little bit, Harvey and Canadian collaborators got Einstein's brain into one of the world's most prestigious medical journals, The Lancet. So,
The what?
The Lancet. L-A-N-C-E-T. Do you know what a Lancet is?
Oh, I thought it was pronounced Lancet.
Lancet? I don't know.
I was like...
I call them Lancets, but that's just me. I don't know. So based on old photographs that had been taken of Einstein's brain before it was cut up, the researchers claimed that Einstein had an abnormal folding pattern in part of his parietal lobe, a region that has been linked to mathematical ability.
Gotcha.
Let me just say for fucking one time now.
Let me just say for one time now.
Those stupid little charts that tell you like math lives on this side of the brain and language arts lives on this side of the brain. No, it fucking doesn't. your lobes do stuff, but you're like, there's no left brain, right brain. That's not a real thing.
Huh.
It's bullshit. It's a bunch of bullshit. Your brain just goes and it talks to it itself in other parts all the time.
So there's not like a stronger, like, because I've seen the scans of when people are doing specific things.
Right.
And you see certain areas light up. Yeah. That's just.
Yeah, but.
It just happens to be that area of the brain.
Yeah. Oh, there's, interesting. It's not like a. Yeah. That's just.
So my head really is screwed on backwards.
It could be. Who knows?
I don't know.
I'm not a scientist or a doctor. I just took like 2 neuroscience courses. don't ask me about your brain. I don't know anything. I don't even know about mine. Mine's a bunch of worms. I'm still going to ask you
questions. what? Mine's a bunch of worms right now.
It is. I feel like I have worms in my brain right now. This is just the worst story ever. That is
not normal.
This is the worst story ever.
I do not think so. Oh, okay, it's pretty good. Fucking lit.
Are you having a good time?
I am.
Okay, good.
I'm like, half of me doesn't believe you, though. I'm like, what kind of...
Worm brain is working.
What weird fucking corner of Reddit did you pull this out of? Jesus Christ.
The internet, dude. Sometimes I just Google stuff, and then I get stuff like this.
Why was Einstein's brain stolen?
I don't even know.
That's how did you come up with this?
I didn't come up with it. It's a real thing that happened. No,
but where did you find it?
I'll tell you the Google search when I'm done telling my story about Einstein's brain. So, this research also reported that his parietal lobes were 15% wider and more symmetrical than those of control brains. Now,
okay,
we're going to get into the research here a little bit. The researchers were not blinded to which photographs showed Einstein's brain.
Uh-huh.
That is a bad control. That is bad research.
Yeah.
When researchers are looking at two brains and saying, what's the difference between A and B? And they say, well, A is Einstein's brain and B is the control brain. You're going to try to find things that look different in Einstein's brain because you know it's Einstein's brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone just slid 2 pictures of a brain and said, what looks weird? You don't already have that preconceived notion of Einstein's brain in your head.
Yeah.
Research, bitch. Anyways, the authors were quick to make links between these supposed differences and Einstein's mathematical prowess. There is a source that points out that Einstein wasn't even that good of a mathematician. Like, he was really good at physics,
right?
But that doesn't make you good at math.
Right.
So that's the whole thing is fucking bunk, you know? And also, your whole research study was fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, so anyways, let's get into the metaphysical side of it a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk a little more about Einstein and how he probably feels about all this.
Yeah.
So here's how smart Einstein was. He understood the public's obsession with him.
Uh-huh.
Our obsession with, like, celebrities and specialness. We love it when people are special. They got a special little thing going on, you know? Like, 4-year-olds that can play the piano really well. Yeah. We love fucking those obsessed. Idiots.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah.
Oh, especially my God.
If they have a little bow tie.
Yeah.
And you got like a cute little dress. On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fucking love you guys. You're prodigies. Prodigies. So he knew that if given the chance, scientists would pore over his brain's neurons and make grand pronouncements about what makes a genius. And he knew it would all be fucking bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
They would find any reason to say, oh, this is why Einstein's brain is different. And this is why he is the way that he is. He can't just be neurodivergent.
Yeah.
That's it. As Einstein supposedly wrote, but probably didn't really write, on a blackboard in his Princeton office, quote, not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that can be counted counts. Period. Unquote. The end.
Fuck.
That is it. That is my fucky bullshit story about Einstein playing the violin, but actually someone stole his brain. Have fun with that, losers.
Sierra is like that mama bird that's like, I don't care if I just birthed you. I'm going to kick you out of the nest right now.
Get out of the fucking nest and figure it out on your own.
This is my nest. Build your own.
You put all the pieces together. I'm just going to start spitting out facts. Jesus
Christ. Okay, so.
Isn't that nuts? Isn't that fucking crazy?
Absolute batshit. Yet again on this podcast. Good job.
Have fun keeping up with that one, y'all.
Okay. I want to know your Google search. How did you come up with this? What weird corner of the internet was Sierra on where she was like, oh, Einstein's brain was stolen. They thieved his brain.
They thiefed his brain. I'm gonna thief your brain.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. Annabelle will be an actual guest on the podcast for our 1 year episode. So yeah, look forward to another joint episode, episode 50, and then Annabelle will be joining us as a real guest on episode number 52, and that
fuck
is
yeah.
1 year of basement fuckery.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah.
Huge shout out to y'all.
Hope you had fun.
Me too.
Kiss your local brain.
Kiss your local brain.
Kiss your local
Go over to wearinabasement.com.
Buy merch. Anyways, join us next week when we talk about...
Bye!
Bye!
Bye, pancake!
What was that?